SFS podcast number 31. I'm gone and it's a fact. I can't be victim to the trap. Yeah, spitting shit. It's SFS podcast number 31. Starting off with this freestyle. I'm gonna say it's about the trap, society's trap. All this trap in the world, man. Just go insane, man. You gotta keep going, man. Keep aware. What is your fucking life gonna be fucked up to the end, man? You know what I'm saying? You can't be victim to this trap, man. You got one life to live. You got your furries, what you feel. 24/7 in this bitch. It's the best podcast number 31, and this is so real, man. You can't get no realer than this. Can't get no real than this. This is the victim to the trap. Let me spit this shit, man. Come on, man. I'm a victim of the trap. Roughed and glazed eyes like I'm smoking crap. Motherfuckers like carbon dioxide and in ingredients for the shit to boil. That's crack so addicted, making sure the coke don't spoil. Ask me for a shot, pins, empty cans and tin foil. Got myself distracted, trying to take my shit. They're going to get the next hit. They'll get in the face, the other end with a nice pick. First rule, never let a cracker close to you. Number two, don't make yourself vulnerable. Cunts take kind for weakness, so evil is a musky mast and plastic bag for an authority. Crack wires and drugs selling bags. System got me mad, trying to get a pass to the next stop. Society won't ready for it when it comes the next block. It's a fact, stay strong and beware or fall victim to the trap. What I say, yeah. Shit. I'm a victim to the trap. Rough face, glazed eyes like I'm smoking crack. Motherfuckers using crack, using carbon dioxide and ingredients for that shit to boil. So addicted to it to make sure that the shit don't spoil. So to keep the eyes on it, ask me for sharp pins and empty can tin foil. Get myself distracted, trying not to get my shit. So run my shit for the next hit. They'll be facing the other end of a fucking ice pick. First rule, never let a crackhead close to you. Number two, don't make yourself vulnerable. Cunts take your kindness for weakness. So evil is a musky mass of plastic bags and a fucking breath of nasty tucking dust. For the 40s, and your crack using drugs and fags. Shit, them got me fucking mad. Trying to get past the next stop, but society, when you're ready, they will come your next block. It's a fact, stay strong, be aware. Don't fall victim to the trap. And that's real, and that's real spitting all that shit. Yow, yow, yow. Yes, SFS number podcast number 31. It's past the 30th anniversary and this shit right here. I'm just going to set my Alfred camera up because I have to go out soon. So I am going to have to set my Alfred camera up. You see, you fall victim to the trap. There's too many demons and snakes out here. Too many of them, man. Not too sharp for that shit, man. Do you want to live in hell all your life? Man, that is weird. You don't want to live in hell all your life. It's SFS. You furries want to feel. Say it's supposed to be protecting me. And Hershey. And everybody in this motherfucker! I just mean a bandana SFS army. If you wanna join the SFS army, I'm the general and you're my soldiers and you join the SFS army, we can change the fucking world and the world can be mine! Shit. Yes. SFS News. I went to two places yesterday. I went to Huddersfield and I went to fucking Accrington. Oh, this feels just bullshitting me again, but it's a trap, you know what I mean? Self-employed. I'm self-employed. But I need a taxi, me man, or something. Because I have to have a taxi, man. I can't be self-employed. No, I have to work for someone. So I pay tax to work for a certain capitalist company to get a private house. How fucked up is that? Now, to get a house, you need to be working for a private bloody fucking company. Isn't that fucking great? Look what this country has come to. We are all trapped. But SFS ain't trapped because I'll get onto the landlord myself, and if they don't give me the house, then I will go the other way, say, look, we can do things the easy way, or we can do things the hard way. And I don't think your best interest is to do things the hard way. So you're giving me that fucking house. That's all I've got to say. If I have to turn into, right now I'm Mankind, do not make me turn into Cactus Jack and get evil on these motherfuckers. And I can turn on, get back to me, deposit, but you can get the deposit for that, but in Atkinson, so it looks like I'm moving to Atkinson. In front of the council, man, because all bullshit is to say, get social services. Oh, fuck you, what social services, man? Fucking, I don't trust the motherfuckers, man. They fuck me up loads of times, you know. I got loads of beef with social services, so I can't have social services in my life. Fuck social services, they don't help you. They detain you. They destroy your mind. They make you think something's wrong with you. You be yourself. You be as weird as you want to be. You be yourself. You look into your soul. You be yourself. Don't try to impress anybody else out there, only try and impress yourself and your close ones like your dog or your family, and cherish that. Cherish yourself, because you gotta cherish yourself like you're a god within yourself. That's what Satan's all about, man. For real, I'm not talking any shit, man. This is what Satan's about, man. Fuck God and all this. It's all to control you, man. He's trying to control you like, bah, like you're a sheep, bah. It's all the Islamics, man. They're fucking veils. They're all sheep. Don't you understand? All these nuns and Christians, bah, bah. They're all fucking sheep. All these motherfucking, oh, for fucking religious bastards like Buddhism, even though in Buddhism I ain't got much against that, because that is some religions, that some of that religion I put into SFS, they're all bah, bah. And worst of all these workers out here working for companies, police force, army, government, fucking secret service, all these motherfuckers working for the government, they're all bah, bah. Some of the drug dealers, man, wrecking our communities, you know why? Because they're working for the government. Really, they are working for the government, because they're helping the government destroy the people, because that's what they want to do. So they're all bah, bah, bah. And all these fucking crackheads out there, they just fucking don't even know where their head's going. They don't even know where they're going. There's such pests in your fucking head, they make your head go insane. Oh, can I borrow some sugar? Oh, can I borrow some milk? Oh, man. Oh, you fucking borrowed my motherfucking PlayStation for fucking so long, I have to borrow it back from you, motherfucker. That's the shit. It's like, oh, I'm fucking, I wish I was my own next door neighbour, and then I could just borrow things for myself, man. I'm fucking so fear it's about getting robbed all the time. I'm fucking robbing myself. You know what I mean? Sometimes I drag myself into a back alley just to say, what you got? You got your phone? What you fucking got? What you got, Jimmy? What the fuck have you got? I'm gonna have you down now, Jimmy. What the fuck have you got? Where's that fucking watch? Where's that fucking phone? How much money have you got, Jimmy? Give me that. As I'm rambling in my pockets. What you fucking got, Jimmy? What you fucking got? That's how drastic things have got. Robbing and these people, little fucking crackheads coming in, borrowing milk, yeah? You have to borrow milk, borrow it back, man. It's like they borrow it and you borrow it back. It's bullshit.
Yeah. Anyway, less of the instructions on the, because do you know why the criminal mind? You see, criminologist, right? I'm going to give you an interpretation of a criminologist, okay? People who study criminology do not have a clue what criminals think like. You have to be a criminal to know what criminals think like, okay? You have to be one. You cannot be a criminologist and know what criminals think like. That's why so many have failed. In all these documentaries, you see these criminologists thinking that they know what's going through the head of a serial killer or a bank robber or whatever. No, they don't. Because they are not criminals themselves. They just sit in a room, study what they've studied of learning off some fucking stupid professor, and then they get their grades right and be a goody two-shoes and then get a job at being a criminologist and just go buy a stupid fucking book. But really, they don't know what goes through the mind of criminals, so they're getting falsely paid, just like the social services and the police force are getting falsely paid. The only people that ain't, that get paid less than these people, are firefighters who actually save people's lives. But social services, they get paid more than fire workers. How fair is that? That ain't fair. That ain't fair, man. And criminologists, what the fuck? How can you understand a criminal if you ain't one yourself? If you want to get into the mind of a criminal, you have to either see one that's locked up or ask someone who is a criminal, who thinks like a criminal. I'm telling you, I think sometimes like a criminal, and I have done. And none of these criminologists actually know what the fuck they are talking about on each and every documentary that I've seen. They do not know the psychology of what criminals think. As I have got a better understanding than they have. Some criminals are desperate criminals who rob things for desperation, for drugs, whatever. They're desperate criminals. The ones that commit serious crimes like serial killers, you do not know what's going through their mind. There's so many reasons behind it. It can just be for the fucking fun of it. It can be for no reason whatsoever. It can just be a click in your mind that does it. Same with an armed robbery, boredom, anything. Don't even have to be being brought up bad. Doesn't matter. Nobody is born to kill. That's all bullshit. Yeah, circumstances happen, but it just happens gradually. And one night they probably get bored or something, opportunity comes and they see it and then they lose it, basically. And they probably didn't intend to kill them. And the ones that keep doing it, because it felt good for them to do it, so they'll keep doing it. And it's a way to get their anger out, just like people that go to mixed martial arts or boxing or do positive things to get their anger out, like meditation or whatever. That's what serial killers do. It's therapy for them, okay, Mr. Criminologist.
Jean-Claude Van Damme. Jean-Claude Van Damme. The film about Jean-Claude Van Damme called Hell, where somebody kills his wife, if you've ever seen it. Somebody kills his wife. As he just gets to the house, he finds his wife dead and the perpetrator is running, but manages to get away as Van Damme's there. And then in court, the judge, it's in Russia, sets him free. The murderer murdered Van Damme. And prior to that,
as he's trying to catch up with the murderer who murders his wife on a tram that's going down the street, he runs after the tram, gets on the tram, and then they both fight on the tram, smash through the window while the tram is moving, and then an ongoing motorbike comes along and runs over Van Damme's arm. And then he turns up to court with a cast on his arm, and the murderer, who he saw murder his wife, gets let free. And outside the courtroom, it's such injustice, Van Damme shoots the perpetrator dead. And then he ends up in a Russian prison where the guards severely beat him, and another 20-year-old vulnerable person goes in there, and he gets fed to the same shark who's in there that murdered his wife, and he gets raped. Then Van Damme has a fight, gets put in some solitary confinement, starts having hallucinations, starts going mad, and the whole prison is supposed to fight each other and hurt each other so they can get their money. So every day the Russian prisoners have got to fight each other, and the guards place bets on it. If they don't, the guards beat the shit out of them or kill them. And they don't want Van Damme dying being a martyr. So they want him to do one last fight. So Van Damme agrees to that, but they're going to kill him anyway. So he plots an escape plan. Beats the shit out of the guards, which makes me feel so euphoric. And then the black man who helps him goes up and kills the damn fucking warden. Can tell the warden to go fuck himself. And then he drives out in a uniform and he's free. But Russian prisons are a bit like that in real life. They are brutal, nasty, and that's why the film's called Hell, because there's hell on this earth. Confusion, anger, hallucinations, depression, brutality. It's all there. It's all here, unfortunately. Anyway, let's get into the news flash of today. Today, we're going to get on to survival tactics, and we're going to do probably the last chapter of the Richard Ramirez story, The Night Stalker. And some more survival tactics. When you're out there on the run or the lam, make sure you listen to this before your enemy does. And newsflash. So I start off with the newsflash for today, I tried to get some guests on the show, but it's very hard at the moment because I'm moving. I've been promising guests for a while, so it's like a normal podcast. So it's not like I'm talking to myself all the fucking time. This podcast means everything to me, and I want it to make money. And I told you to send some money to o.g2de312@gmail.com. Send money, man, to my PayPal address, man. So I can keep doing this podcast and keep entertaining you to the best of my abilities. That's all I want to do, man. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that, man? See, what's wrong with that, man? What is the same plan? What is the same plan? Huh? What are you fucking same plan? Oh, shit. Right. Let's get into the news. SFS News Flash, here we go. SFS News Flash, here we go. As I said before, on the SFS News Flash today, The Undertaker, now imminent WWE return as company faces mass walkout. WWE has forced to bring one of their legends back into ring with several wrestlers set to walk out. The Undertaker was last seen more than 6 months ago in a losing effort to Roman Reigns. Obviously, many fans, including me, saw the dead man had hung his cape in the ring and walked away. Everybody thought he quit What if he quit? Because he left his stuff in the ring and walked away at the end of WrestleMania. That was his last match. He walked away. That was the last match. So how can they bring him back? Because that was a grandiose say goodbye, everyone. Thank you, Taker, for this a legendary career and the WrestleMania career that you've had, being the greatest gimmick in WWE history. No, for the WrestleManias that you've made, all the WrestleMania victories, everything that you've done, you know, accumulated in that one night when you finally put it to rest. He doesn't need to do more. This is absolutely bullshit. This is horrible. How can this be happening? It's saying because the WWE have been first to resurrect the cult character within several members of younger talent on the verge of quitting, according to sources. Well, who's quitting then? See, he's left his hat in his legendary jacket there as he's walking up that ramp. All the memories of him facing Jimmy Snuka and then Jake the Snake Roberts, then the Giant Gonzalez at WrestleMania, then Diesel, as the list goes on, then Psycho Sid, then Kane, then the Big Boss Man in the Hell in a Cell, then Triple H at WrestleMania 17, the greatest WrestleMania of all time, then Ric Flair at WrestleMania 18, at 19, he faced the Big Show and A-Train, and was it Nathan Jones? WrestleMania 20, he came back as the original Undertaker to face the Unmasked Kane. WrestleMania 25, he faced, was it Randy Orton? Yes, Randy Orton. WrestleMania 26 was Mark Henry. I think it was Mark Henry. Yes, WrestleMania 22 was Mark Henry. Then he won the title for the second time when he faced Batista in the main event at WrestleMania 27. And then at the main event of one of the greatest WrestleManias of all time, he faced Edge for the title and won. And then the match of the century, this match with Shawn Michaels, one of the best matches in WrestleMania history, against Shawn Michaels. And then Shawn Michaels' retirement match at 26. And then the classic no disqualification match, which may is the best in the trilogy of matches that The Undertaker had at WrestleMania against Triple H. The classic Hell in a Cell with Shawn Michaels being the referee. And then his classic match against CM Punk. His last victory of the streak. 20-0. And then there's 21-0 he was against CM Punk. And then the 21 mysteriously went to the 21-1. The only person that could get the job done. And real, the mayor of Suplex City, the beasts among all fucking mankind, Brock Lesnar. Made the upset of the century when he beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania 30. And it said The Undertaker might retire there. And then there's Bray Wyatt, which I thought would be a great match because Bray Wyatt seemed to be going in the footsteps of becoming kind of like the next Undertaker. But that match was quite disappointing. And then the Shane McMahon match at 32 was decent. And then this last match, which I don't agree with, should have been with Roman Reigns. I agree it should have been with Kane. A trilogy of matches with Kane, I think it should have been. And he shouldn't have lost. But he lost to Roman Reigns, and that's the way they do. Roman Reigns is the poster boy, as we all know. So that's it. 23-2. It makes all sense. It adds up. I should not bring The Undertaker back. It's a conspiracy. And why are the wrestlers leaving? Because of the scripts that are happening at the moment. It's diabolical. Heartbreaking thing. Rio Ferdinand, if you can remember Rio Ferdinand, well, anyone in England can remember Rio Ferdinand, the one of the greatest defenders for Manchester United of all time, reveals heartbreaking question he would have asked his late wife had he had one more moment with her. The ex-Manchester United star is among a group of celebrities who reveal what they would say to their loved ones if they had one more, just last moment with them. As you can see, emotional Rio Ferdinand getting real emotional now. Rio Ferdinand and Mary Berry are among the celebrities sharing the memories of their loved ones who have died as part of a campaign to help grieving children. The ex-Manchester United star reveals what he asked his wife, Rebecca, who died of cancer in 2015, if he was able to share one last moment with her. A tearful Rio admits, if I was able to have one more minute with Rebecca, I'd probably will. I'd definitely ask her about what she wanted to do about the children growing up at different stages, painted moments in their development. I would tell her I love her. I've clearly not taken my medication today, I don't care. Mindhunter, a new series on Netflix for any serial killing fans. The chilling interviews with notorious murderers featured an acclaimed crime series called Mindhunter. It's a new series about serial killers and what inspires them. Another criminologist probably talking bullshit like they know what goes through the mind of these serial killers when they don't have a bloody clue. The first season of new crime series Mindhunter only recently arrived on Netflix, with many already hailing it as one of the streaming service must watch shows. Well, it is. If it's about serial killers, I'm fucking watching it. Based on a book by Mark Oscar and John E. Douglas, produced by David Fincher and directed by Asif Kapadia. The series has some big credentials, unfortunately, characters and a story to back it up, inspired by real-life criminal profiles who interviewed a large number of America's most notorious serial killers as part of an FBI's behavioral science unit. That was Robert Ressler who came up with the word serial killers. Robert Ressler was probably the closest to understanding these serial killers. In a bid to delve into their psyches to solve pending investigations. Well, who did they go to when they tried to solve the Green River Killers murder? Do you know who they had to go to? Ted Bundy, because he operated in the same fucking area as Gary Ridgway, and Ted Bundy is the one that really gave him the best tip they could possibly get, because they were just going on, oh, it must be a madman or some fucking crazy pimp or something like that. And it's because of what Ted Bundy told him that's why they got him. While Jonathan Groff and Holt McCallie play FBI agents inspired by these profilers, the show features several serial killers who are based on real-life figures, including the murderer and necrophiliac Edmund Kemper. He's that big son of a bitch, 6'10", massive motherfucker. Below, as highlighted in the IndieWire clips, are some really chilling interviews with these very criminals, as well as FBI agents who have conducted them. So, the season episode, Edmund first, I'm not going to give away, just a few ones that serial killers that are featured. Edmund Kemper, Richard Specs, Dennis Rader, I think that's the BTK killer. Henry Brudos, never heard of him. I've heard of Henry Lee Lucas. Don't say anything about the legend, Ted Bundy. If you're talking serial killers, you've got to talk Ted Bundy. Now, he is the hot. If you're putting in the Hall of Fame of serial killers, then Ted Bundy is at the top of the list. Jeffrey Dahmer, not far behind.